The prophet Isaiah cries out, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, that endures forever." In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved in Christ, another year has about come and gone. Perhaps you blinked and you missed it. Time passes so quickly, does it not? Even as we may at times complain about the length of the years and its grueling trek, life remains altogether relatively short, especially in comparison with eternity. Before you know it, all that snow out there will melt, the sun will shine again, and it will be 75 or 80. The grass will wake from its winter slumber. The flowers will spring to life again. Another year will come. Another year will go. Time just sort of marches on. And as we observe these changes in nature, we're reminded that due to man's sin, creation groans under this cycle of rising and falling, of growth and decay, of sprout and seed, of light and darkness, birth and death. Now, I must say that growing up in California, such dramatic transformations were not as readily apparent. The weather was consistently nice or mild or hot, depending upon your location in that vast state. But one thing was apparent. There was little water. Drought and fire were an ever-present danger. So the grass was rarely green. It was always brown and dry. Smokey the Bear was always out there reminding us of the dangers of what a spark could do and the destruction that it could unleash. Now, I'm pretty sure that those of Isaiah's day were also quite familiar with dry and hot conditions. But a moment's notice that their natural landscape could become a tinderbox, the fires of judgment reducing all to dust and ash. As you hear Isaiah preach, you realize that he's quite blunt. All flesh is as the grass. So pause for a moment and think about that. Consider all the money and the energy and the time that is spent trying to defy the aging process, to halt time, to crystallize the present. The makeup, the surgeries, the supplements, all of it, whatever it is all to no avail. Time is an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away, as the hymnist would wisely pen. And so our Lord says, cry out. It must be said. It must be preached. All flesh is grass, and the curse courses through all things in this life. The crier, the preacher, he's not important, as John the Baptist knew. Rather, the word alone is. It alone is what endures forever. It alone is what teaches what is good and wise, what is beautiful and what is eternal. On the other hand, the passage of time and man's profuse words teach us the vanity of human hot air, of empty glory and the vain and hollow prestige that man has. It's all fast fading away. In fact, when you think about it, it falls even as it rises. Temporary glory has within it already the seeds of its ultimate and certain demise. Now, this is not to say that humanity has no future or no hope. But yet, when you consider how people celebrate and ring in the new year, it seems quite empty, as they ascribe to the ancient creed of the Greeks. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I mean, there's really no hope in that adage. It's purely a reveling in a passing moment. In fact, when you think about it, it's a rather dreary and dire concept of celebration. It smacks of craving everything fleshly and sensual and seeking whatever pleasure one can get, for nothing lasts forever. Or in the words of the ancient Roman poet Horace, carpe diem, seize the day, for the day is all that you're given. Look at that. Think about that for a second. The ancient creeds of the Greco-Roman men are just like the American creeds of modern men. Yes, Solomon, you were right. There is nothing new under the sun. Yes, we know it all so well. The prophet is right. The voice is true. All our glory is as the grass of the field. And yet, the temptation is such a strong and mighty tug. This undertow, this deceptive undertow, to live for today since tomorrow may never come. The lie is always to live as if one can live with no regrets. But one day, we all know that it will catch up to us in one final moment of judgment. And that's the whole point that Isaiah is making tonight. That tomorrow does actually come. The lie is that it doesn't, or that it doesn't matter. But we know better. We know that tomorrow will come, but we also know this, that when tomorrow comes in our fallen flesh, we will not have the strength to bear it. You see, time isn't the cause of our problems. Why does the grass wither and the flower fade? Because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. It's not the mere ticking of the clock that brings death, as if death were sort of some natural event that God has worked into creation. Far from it. As you know, in the beginning, God breathed life into Adam. He breathed life into his nostrils, and he became a what? A living soul. His breath, therefore, was the source of life. And yet in our text, you clearly see that when God breathes, he is also breathing out judgment and death. God breathes, and he brings forth life and death. Now, the word breath there can also be translated as spirit. So the Holy Spirit is indeed the breath of God. He speaks God's word. This makes the Bible the word of God. For the Holy Spirit is its author. For by the Holy Spirit are the biblical writers carried along by inspiration, as we confess, to write down exactly what God wants to be written. This makes the Christian sermon that is drawn from the Holy Scriptures the Word of God. And this written Word of God is the standard by which we judge all preaching. So when God tells the voice to cry out, he insists that when that voice cries out, it does so according to the standard of teaching that he has set forth. So biblical preaching is the Word of God. But there is another word, a word that is neither written nor preached, and yet it is indeed a golden thread by which the entire Bible is held together. And it is the sum and the substance of all Christian preaching. And you know it as the Word made flesh. You know it as the eternal wisdom from on high. You know it as the image of the invisible God. This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace. He is the child born of Mary, yet eternally begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The breath of God, you see, is nothing other than Jesus breathing out his Spirit over the face of the earth, convicting the world of its sin and training it according to righteousness. And that happens through the ministry of the Word that condemns the grass, that is, the flesh of man and the flowers of his glory. God's judgment stands. Nations fall from power. Monuments to human achievements are torn down. And not by mobs of revolutionaries, but what? By apathy and ignorance and forgetfulness. Who knows? Who cares? Time passes on. The hot wind blows. Only God's truth, you see, remains constant. For he indeed is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In contrast to that, the glory of human achievement fades from memory. It disappears as if it never was. But wait. Behold, I tell you a mystery tonight. There is human achievement. There is human glory. There is human beauty and greatness and power. There is human success that cannot be denied or disputed. You just need to know where to look. Turn your eyes to the manger, and you shall see human glory in a divinely forgiving package. The salvation of your God, there. And so the linkage between celebrating the birth of a new calendar year and the birth of Christ must remain intertwined and interwoven with each other. Why? Because the birth of Christ changes everything. It changes your past, it changes your present, and it changes your future. But consider the lives that we have lived in 2025. What did we set out to do, yet failed to accomplish? Or what did we never seriously even attempt to do that we should have done? What regrets do we have? What besetting sins took us down and brought pain and heartache to ourselves and also to those whom we love? Consider your failure in the year gone by. Now, look at the life that Jesus lived. What did he set out to do, yet fail to accomplish? What did he never try, and did he ever fail? Could he look at his life after those 33 years of service here on earth and say to himself that he was a sinner, that he had failed? No, certainly not. So we listen to the word of God that is made flesh for us. We listen to the word that stands forever. Hear the voice that cries out after all human glory fades away, that Jesus Christ made flesh lived in your flesh this past year. That all that God required of you that you didn't do, Jesus bears in his body and he forgives all of it. And all that you did actually do, you simply did by the strength and will of God in Christ who has become flesh for you. For did we break our promises? Yes, but Jesus kept our promises. Did we give up a good cause because we were too lazy or too tired or too indifferent? Yes, but Jesus did the work for us and he didn't slack, he didn't quit, he didn't give up. Everything that was needed to be done was done for us by what Jesus has done. This, my friends, is the gospel. God gives you the credit of what Jesus did. It's very simple, it's beautiful, and it's incredibly comforting. For as St. Paul says, by the obedience of one man, many were made righteous. Beloved, this year will soon be history in about 4 and so hours. But it's not a history of your failure. It's a history of Christ's success. This is the gospel that blows upon your parched soul and body, creating new life within you and giving you new strength and new desires to love your neighbor. The Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life, keeps on giving you this eternal life as he keeps on preaching this gospel to you, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. For you all know that the one constant in life is this, that everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Time marches on and the hot winds blow. A brilliant philosophy can, or a catchy fad takes the world by storm and captures the imagination and hearts of the best educated. And then it quickly loses its appeal and novelty, and then it's finally rejected. And so it goes. Bodies grow old, eyes grow dim, memory fades. Everything that charms the eye finally loses its luster. Everything that sounds good to the ear loses its appeal. Everything but, however, the Word of God. The Word of God makes all the difference. And this because it is the word of God of him who joined himself to our flesh, that even though all things change and all things pass away, we are with him and he is with us. Whatever God has, it is ours, because he is our God and he is our Father. His word, his will, and his holy purposes are ours. His cause is our cause. So we can sit back and we can watch the decay and the destruction of anything in this world and know that our eternal future is secured. We can sit by our dying loved ones in the nursing home as their flesh fades. We can even sit by our blessed dead in the graveyard and know that they will be reborn as the new creations that they have been created in Christ to be. We can put the past behind us in the forgiveness of sins and live with a good conscience in the present and press on to the future glory that is ours in Christ. Surely God has been born for us. He remains with us to give us a future beyond this old and passing age. The hot winds of God's judgment blow, yes, and they reap destruction on this world, but we shall never be destroyed. Our life belongs to God and his eternal word. So, beloved, all flesh now sees the salvation of our God precisely because God has been made flesh. For without the flesh of God, the flesh of man is doomed and damned. But with the flesh of God, the flesh of man is rescued and given eternal life and endless ages. So tonight, wonder not that you shall be a share of Christ's eternity. Do not despair that time passes and that change and decay is all around that you see. For in Christ and the Word made flesh, you shall endure forever. All things are made new in him. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.